You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source. That is us right here in Berea. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. I want to tell you, we have a lot of rich content coming your way, including ClevelandBrowns.com, the all-new and improved one. We have got a great piece by one of our newest additions to the staff. His name is Kevin Jones. Joined us this week, in fact, on Joe Hayden's appearance on NFL Network. I've got a piece that takes you around the National Football League with different moves, including those that the Ravens made with the addition of Owen Daniels, the Pro Bowl tight end. And plenty of other content, a video, an interview I did in Hollywood last week with Kevin Costner, the star of the Draft Day movie. That's up there along with videos from Jennifer Garner that I sat down with Jennifer Garner and Ivan Reitman, the director. So you're going to get a lot of good perspectives on that movie, of course, based on the Cleveland Browns, right on ClevelandBrowns.com. We are pleased to be joined right now. She's a regular on this show. Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Great, Mary Kay. Happy Friday.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time here. Mary Kay, let's start with this. The discussion about a pretty long list of quarterback meetings or private meetings. Chris Mortensen of ESPN had put that out there, I want to say yesterday, and he just kind of generically went through either those that have happened. Derek Carr, of course, went on the record and said he had met with the Browns and worked out for the Browns earlier this week, Monday, I believe it was, at Fresno State. And then there are reports about Blake Bortles. We also saw that happening, Wednesday, I believe, and I know you reported that as well. And then I think he's on this list, but Teddy Bridgewater, Jimmy Garoppolo, and others. Keith Wenning, the Ball State quarterback as well. Your thoughts on just this kind of widespread approach to all these QBs?
Well, you know what? I think what they're saying is, look, we are prepared to take a quarterback at number four if a guy that we really like is available there. If not, we have all kinds of options on the table, including taking one at 26, packaging something and moving up into the teens, moving back, drafting, you know, moving all the way up to number one, number two, whatever they have to do, they are ready to do. So they're looking at quarterbacks all across the board, top tier, second tier, you name it. And I think it's the right approach. They really have to focus on the quarterback position. And even though, you know, Brian Hoyer might go on to have a long and successful career here, they just have to really hit that position very, very hard.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. We always love our conversations here on Cleveland Browns Daily with Mary Kay. You can check her out at, of course, Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Mary, do you feel right now today, what are we at, April 4th, do you feel that this regime, Ray Farmer and all that that scout for him, do you think they're really in love with one guy? Do you think that they're ready to pull the trigger if they believe that, you know, that they've got their guy and the franchise player? And if they don't, will they?
You know what? I don't know. I remember when I talked to Ray, I think it was in February, he said he had the guy that he would take at quarterback. He said he wouldn't necessarily take that guy at number four, but he didn't say he wouldn't either. So, and the other interesting thing about that is that he said he would not share who his guy was with Kyle Shanahan or Mike Pettine until the evaluations were done, because he did not want to sway their thinking in any way, shape, or form. So I'm wondering, you know, how that process is all going. Now, I have heard, you know, sort of just, you know, on the periphery a little, that there is something really to that Derek Carr, you know, stuff that we've seen and heard out there a little bit. And, you know, you can see why. You talk to Derek Carr and, you know, he's got all the intangibles. He's got the work ethic. He's got all those things. And then he's got the big arm. So there could be something there. Do they want to take him at number four? You know, I think if they really do like him, that they would have to, because the Raiders are looking at him at number five. And then again, the Vikings at number eight. So, you know, if you find a quarterback that you like, I think you have to go get him and you have to be aggressive. And my philosophy on this is I would rather take a quarterback and take my chances on a quarterback that you think can win for you than take a player at another position that might not change the record of your football team that much.
Yeah, I go along with that. I think you're absolutely right about that. If you have that feeling organizationally, this is the guy we want, then when you have the chance to get the guy you want, if you don't execute that chance, you always run the risk of something else happening that doesn't allow you to get in position to do that. And I know you want to trust your board and trust your ratings. And I think for some people, it's too easily said, Mary Kay, that, well, you know, let's use Derek Carr as an example. I was referencing his brother, but use Derek Carr as an example. And in my mock draft, you know, I put him right there at four. I think he's a guy that would fit very well with the Browns. I don't necessarily know or believe that he should be a top five rated guy. And I think a fair number of draft analysts would argue that that's too high a spot, but I'm going on the basis, first of all, you don't make trades in mock, or I don't in my mocks. And then two, I believe that, you know, following that same wisdom of you take the guy when you can get the guy, because just like you, I can see too many opportunities between picks 4 and 26 that he's not going to be there.
Right. And then, you know, when you look at it from a financial standpoint as well, you know, sometimes, you know, in the past you had to worry about, you know, the 68, whatever, million-dollar contract for one of those top five quarterbacks. You don't have to worry about that anymore with the slotting and the rookie salary cap and all of that. So you can take someone at number four that you normally would not have wanted to pay all those millions to. So if that's their guy, I mean, look at Ben Roethlisberger, you know, the year that he was drafted. I'm sure some people might have thought that was too high. But what difference does it make if that's the guy that you want and you think he's going to change the fortunes of your franchise, which in my opinion, you know, that's what a quarterback does. You can take all these other positions and they might do a phenomenal job. Chris Johnson rushed for 2,000 yards that one year, but it really didn't get them anywhere. You know, you really have to have the quarterback and you have to have one for the foreseeable future.
Mary Kay Cabot and all of her Browns wisdom joining us on Browns Daily today. All right, Mary Kay, regardless of who it is, let's assume the Browns do select what they hope is their difference-making franchise quarterback of the future at four. Do you believe that their hope would be that, given that Brian Hoyer's healthy, that this young man will go in and be able to take the reins right away, given that they drafted him at four, and hopefully be able to be the starter of this football team when the season opens in September?
Well, generally, if you're going to take a guy at number four, that is what you would expect would happen, that he would come in and start for you. That's how things go now. You don't wait. You don't sit on the bench. However, you know, this is a unique situation here with Brian Hoyer being ready to go. At the very least, if they do draft Carr or someone else at number four or even number 26, that player will come in and will press Brian Hoyer for the starting job, and these guys will play whoever is best. I really do believe that. I really believe that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine will play the best guy. They'll let the guy win the job, and they'll go from there. If say, for instance, they draft a Derek Carr and they don't feel that he's ready yet. I mean, Donovan McNabb waited, you know, on the bench for 6 games and then went in and, you know, everything was great after that. I don't think you have to throw a guy in the first game just because you pick him at number four. But I do think that there will be some tremendous competition here.
Yeah, I think that's what it should be, or what it should come down to, is the enormous and tremendous competition. Speaking of other areas of this football team that may become competitive, that maybe the Browns hope they don't, is the center position. Because we'd like to think that Alex Mack has that locked down. And after all the talk, Mary Kay, of his agent putting out there the idea that he may be able to get an offer that the Browns wouldn't match, they put that transitional tag on him, and that it would be structured in a way that the Browns wouldn't be able to match it, and so on and so forth. One of Mack's representatives saying that. And as we sit here on April 4th, free agency really in its I don't even know if we call it the third tier. It might be the fourth tier or fifth tier at this point. And no offer that we know of for the guy. I don't obviously see that happening. How do you sort of save face from this if you're does he have to save any kind of face? And does this maybe drive, as far as what you're hearing, Mac, back to the idea of getting a long-term deal done with the Browns?
Well, you know what? I still think that we haven't heard the last from Alex Mack and from the agents in this regard. I still think that they are going to try to drum up interest from the outside. I still believe that they feel that there probably will be other teams out there that might be willing to come through with an offer. But, you know, I think the key thing now going forward is, you know, is he going to be around? Is he going to be part of the team? Is he going to be learning, you know, the new system and working with, you know, Brian Hoyer? I mean, things get rolling here on April 7th, and then before you know it, we're into OTAs. And they're talking about taking their time in signing this tender. I think somehow the two sides should try to come together and get to the point where they can try to get him in to Berea as soon as they possibly can. And, you know, I do believe that, you know, that there are ways of getting that done without necessarily signing a long-term contract right away.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Mary Kay, the Nate Burleson conversation, the veteran wide receiver, although having been injured in Detroit the last couple of years, certainly thought of at 32 years of age as a guy that could come in, command the room, be helpful there, and still be productive. What are you hearing about Burleson potentially with the Browns, and how could that impact where they go in the draft with the right wide receiver? And Mary Kay, do you see, if they weren't able to entice a Burleson or another veteran of his ilk, the Browns taking a wide receiver with, say, one of those four selections they have in the first, what, 50-some out of the draft?
Well, you know what? I think that they need to add to the receiver pile in a lot of different ways. And we've long said that they need a veteran, an experienced guy in the room. So, you know, I think they need that guy, but I think they also need a really good wide receiver to come in here, take some of that pressure off Josh Gordon. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised at all if Sammy Watkins is in play at number four if they don't go quarterback there. I think it's that important that they have other good players at that position. So I don't think the Nate Burleson thing changes the draft strategy too much. I think what it does is it adds to the pile, and it would be a good addition for the team.
Mary Kay, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Have a great weekend, Mary.
You too.
All right. Yes, Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Check out her great work there covering the Cleveland Browns. We've got much more coming up for you as we plow through hour number one of today's show. We're going to talk at the top of the hour with Ball State quarterback Keith Wenning. He is going to be on the line with us, and then we'll follow it up with a conversation with the play-by-play voice of Eastern Illinois, Mike Brad, at 2:15. He'll talk some Jimmy Garoppolo with us, the quarterback from Eastern Illinois. That'll be there at 2:15. All right, so 2 o'clock and 2:15, some of those interviews. And then in the meantime, let's hear from you, 216-578-0850. Love your thoughts on the draft. Love your thoughts on opening day. We're going to get into that. Of course, the Indians opening up with the Twins today. 3:05 is when the first pitch will be thrown at Progressive Field. So opening day, always a big deal here in Cleveland for baseball, for football. What are your opening day memories? And they could be on either of those sports or any opening day that you've been a part of that you might want to share with us. We're happy to hear about that. Vic Carucci, Michael Regai is sitting in for Nathan Zagura. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford.